Hey everybody, it's Justin. Welcome to part two of the Mayday Season 3 wrap-up show and Ask Us Anything-ish show. We'll be answering more of your questions, which were awesome, as always. This is our favorite time of the year, the time when we get to just answer whatever the hell comes to your mind. And trust me, you guys had some interesting things. So, first, a few announcements. We have some interviews coming up that are confirmed. This Friday, we will be interviewing Anne Crabtree, former Handmaid's Tale costume designer. She is nominated this year for her third Emmy. Emmy's coming up here in September. If you have any questions for Anne, please leave us a voice message on the Anchor Podcast app, or you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and send us the messages there and ask us whatever you want to ask of her. We're also excited to interview Anne. She's going to be our third time interviewing her, and that may sound like overkill to you, interviewing someone a third time, but she is amazing. If you have not heard an interview with her, we'll post some of her old stuff, but she's incredible. We're also confirmed to interview Wendy Holland Martin. She is the Emmy-nominated editor for The Handmaid's Tale, and Elizabeth Williams, Emmy-nominated production designer for The Handmaid's Tale, as well as Renee Nault. She is the artist that did The Handmaid's Tale graphic novel, which you would have seen us giving away and promoting here earlier in the season. So we're very excited to talk to all those people, and we will have the opportunity for you to submit questions for us to give to them. So super excited, plus more to come, hopefully. And I'm very excited because last week, spur of the moment, I hopped on Facebook. I was like, okay, I'm done with Sharp Objects, which if you haven't watched Sharp Objects on HBO, came out last summer. It is incredible with a twist that still is messing with my head. I was not okay after. But regardless, I was done with it. I've been watching new shows and movies while I work out because we converted our room into exercise room in the back. So I've got all kinds of time. And it helps to keep me working out, which is awesome. So I was looking for a new show. So I came to you all to help me find out what I needed to watch next. And needless to say, I was flooded. I was actually really impressed. This was incredible. One of these things where I just feel like I'm going to throw something out and get a few responses. I got like over, I think like 200 and something comments on this thread. It was insane. With that incredible response, we came up with this idea to have you give me an idea of what I should watch, and I'll pick one. And then I'm going to suggest something you should watch because I watch so much stuff that I just need somebody else to watch it and tell me what they think. So we did that. So I have invested some time into the show Fleabag, which is on Amazon Prime, which if you haven't checked it out, I've already watched the first season. It is fantastic. It is a real easy watch, easy thing to binge if you're a binger. 30-minute episodes, six of them for the first season, super quick, super funny. My wife is watching it, so I'm kind of watching it for a second time, and it's even funnier now. Now you've got kind of the feel of the show. So it's definitely one of those that repeat watches are very valuable and very rewarding. Wendy Young was the person who suggested Fleabag to me, one of many. There were several, but she was the first. So thanks to her, and so Wendy has to watch something that I recommended. And I talked to Wendy, and I was making sure I knew what she wanted to watch and didn't want to watch, what kind of things she was into. And so we came down after much negotiation on what Wendy hadn't watched was not a lot. Came down to the movie Cube, which if you've heard Tiana talk and I talk, that's one of her favorite movies of all time. It's a fantastic movie. 1997 horror sci-fi kind of thing. And we're also going to be watching One Thing together, because in our discussions we realized that I hadn't watched a thing and she wanted to watch a thing again. So we are watching the 1990 TV movie version of Stephen King's It. That's right. With Tim Curry as Pennywise. I just started it last night and there's so much gloriously good and bad about it that I can't wait to talk about it more. So I look forward to doing that. I look forward to hearing what Wendy Young has thought of the Cube movie and what she thinks of her rewatch of It. She seemed very excited to watch it. So more on that in an upcoming podcast. So those are the announcements. More stuff coming. We are actually having a podcast planning meeting this week to kind of go over what we're going to do in October and September. And as many of you saw, we got this big box of cards from one of our listeners who had started making those cards and then didn't have time to do that anymore. So she just sent all the extras to us. So we're going to find some cool ways to give all those away along with some other prizes that we have. Super excited to get things going for you. So without further ado, please enjoy part two of the season three wrap-up show. Bye, guys.
Is this it? Mayday. Is it? Yes.
Let's see. I'm just going to roll through these. Sylvia, Dylan, Shank. I keep seeing on social media that fans are afraid for the fate of June, Janine, Alma, and the other Handmaids left behind. I just wonder how anyone would even know who was involved or who left. Why wouldn't Gilead simply assume that they all escaped on the plane?
Well, one of them's been shot, so I think that's a bit of a giveaway. Yeah. Also, they are already suspicious of Bradley Whitford, so...
It's true.
I feel like June at least is a...
I don't necessarily...
An assumed accomplice.
I don't necessarily disagree with the notion that they could, like, hide it from people. Like, if they really had a place to go where no one was going to, like, look for them and say, hey, all these people
escaped.
How
would nobody be looking for them? They're handmaids.
That's what I'm saying. If there is a place like that in Gilead, which I don't know that there is.
You need, like, the opposite of the Red Center.
Correct. We just need somewhere for them to hide. So the answer to that is I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm wondering how they're going to handle it in the beginning of season four. Maybe it will be, we've lost so many children now that we're so desperate for fertile women that we're just going to cut off a finger or do something like beat you and then keep you, though, because...
They were already doing that, though. That's not even an escalation. That's like normal punishment.
Or do something like really harsh, but not death.
Right.
Yeah,
and then they'll continue
that's true.
On as handmaids. Ugh. Because now that they've lost, like, what, 100 children or something?
Yeah.
Or, you know, now they really feel the squeeze and really can't kill.
I wonder if they will even notice that they lost a Martha who could give lots of really good information, or if they're just going to be like, but the kids.
Well, that was the other thing I looked for in the ending scene where they show, like, pan across the plane when Moira first gets on the plane. I was like, how many Marthas got out?
With,
I legitimately only saw two, which was Rita and I thought Beth. I thought Beth was one of the ones that got out, but that didn't make any sense to me because she was one of the ones that was chucking rocks at the dude. So that could have just been me not recognizing whoever that actress was.
Okay.
And just
I thought there were two or three on there, but my assumption was that, like, not all Marthas are in such a well-connected household.
Tracy Tabata wants to know, will there be a launch event for the Testaments in St. Louis, and are we going? Now, I do not know of any event specific to St. Louis. I do know, just for the people that don't know, the Testaments is the upcoming sequel to The Handmaid's Tale that Margaret Atwood has written and is being released on September 10th. I do know that there is a live theatrical, by theatrical I mean you can go to a movie theater and watch Margaret Atwood, who will be in London, I believe, doing a live Q&A about the book and everything about that stuff. So if you look, I know Fandango will probably have it on one of those special events at the big movie theaters you go to, a one night only kind of deal. I believe it's the night of the release of the book.
Those are fun. I've been to a couple of those for
Super
NPR
cool.
things.
Yeah.
And I did put out a thing this week of choose your own adventure path for the people that want to know what the fuck we're going to do now that the podcast is over.
I noticed.
And so I was asking, what do you want us to do? And everyone's like, oh, they got this book coming out. Did you know there's this book coming out? You guys should do this book. And we're going
yes. Yeah, I knew you had been.
Yes, we'll definitely do.
We'll definitely do. We need to beat the book.
Yeah, I want to get my hands on that
or
book.
The book is going to happen.
You'll be listening to the book?
I'll be listening to the book, too.
I
have to
reading
admit
the
it.
Book. I cannot do audiobooks.
Oh,
I've tried.
Oh, I'm listening to a book right now, and I'm dying.
I can't do it.
I'm dying for the ending. I can't wait.
All right, let's see. Virginie Florentine. I would love to know the jobs Beth and Rita used to have before Gilead.
Ooh.
Now, I will say, this falls into a category of interesting questions, which are, it seems like people think we know stuff about the plot.
Yeah, we don't know that. We also would love to know those things.
I will give my opinion on what they think is going to happen on the plot.
What do you think Rita did?
It was interesting. Now, not that I don't have an opinion on what I thought. I have an opinion that I think Rita's super secret agent lady. But Amanda Bruegel, who also plays her, who has a little insight, said that she always imagined her as a lawyer or someone that was super smart corporate woman.
Highly educated.
Right, highly educated.
Used
head,
to giving orders.
a boss, either head attorney or head of a company or somebody that was in charge. There was an interesting article that I read about, interview with her, just talking about her role in this season and what she thought about it. And she talked about how she was a little confused about how everything went down for Rita, but I think she was happy the way it ended up. So that's kind of that's what she said. So I always like to go with what they say because they're the ones.
I was
playing.
Inching towards therapist because she's so calm and centered and perceptive.
Right. Yeah, she's very cool under fire. For
sure.
But there's also another interesting thing she mentioned in this was that the kind of evolution of or softening of her and Serena's relationship this season. which I think was a little more subtle than she thinks it was. But there were like those couple moments where they were very nice warm to each other and warm to each other. And she talked about her having a little bit of Stockholm syndrome, and that it was one of these things that she had to do a lot of research on. So that will be interesting to see how that plays out into her being in Canada. And obviously they're going to want to talk to her about everything that went down with Fred and Serena. So that'll be interesting to see what her, you know, attitude is, if and she's still feeling feelings.
And her interaction with Serena. Like,
yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. I wonder if Serena, how Serena will react to seeing her there.
Oh, man. Can you even imagine? Oh,
I can't wait.
I mean, if Serena feels like they're friends, she might be shocked by.
I agree.
You know. Yep. Some things that Rita could say.
Serena's shocked right now. As for
it's true. She's had a lot
somebody,
of shock in her
somebody
life
in
lately.
Here, I forget. I think it was on Instagram. Somebody was like, wait a minute. Fred was smart enough to know to go to the law library?
Yeah. I thought it was shocking that he was smart enough to put together that she had did something wrong with Nick and June.
Yes.
I was so like, I that seems like hilarious. A lot of intuition for Fred.
Well, hell hath no fury. Then a woman scorned, but also anyone scorned, because you become crazy smart and intuitive once it becomes the motivation is there to screw someone who screwed
That's
you.
True. Very true.
I am not vindictive enough for that, I don't think, but I will take your word for it, because your
guessing.
Face looks like you mean it.
Yeah, I don't know. I was like, that was a hypothesis that I had.
In another podcast, we would talk about how much Sarah loves the Punisher. But
this is true. I forgot about that.
But we're Love moving right along here. So, Lenny Shipman, who had one of the first and best questions of this entire list. And it is, quite simply, does Justin love Janine most? Most is important here. Most because of her red hair.
Valid question.
I was like, now there is somebody who has listened to the podcast.
Yes, you have been paying attention.
Now, I will say that, no, I do not love her most because of her red hair. And I, maybe subconsciously, but I do not recall ever going, oh, there's a redhead lady. Like
very
her.
Fair-skinned redhead lady.
One, because you don't see her hair a ton in the show, right?
Yeah, they're in those
because
they're
in
the
lot
bombs.
Early on.
You did in the early season, but I, you know, it's been so long that I more
and
like
now. Now she's more disheveled often, so like sometimes it's poking out of the bonnet.
So no, I would not say that the red hair necessarily played into any favoritism from me.
It doesn't, consciously,
it does not hurt. Yes, consciously for sure. Subconsciously, I'm definitely probably for sure. But I would say we just loved her character because you know she's for
the
lack
only
of
she's comic great. Relief in the show
right.
at all.
Right.
She's great. I mean, like, she does stupid shit, but you still gotta love her.
Because she's like,
she
the for lack of the term, she's the crazy one, right? She does the shit that, like,
crazy,
you would do
lovable.
If you were there.
Lovable.
Yeah, so she goes kind of from being this, like, kooky one to being what we refer to as, like, kind of like the shining light of everyone. Like, she's the warm light of sunshine in
the
every single...
The accidental moral compass.
She is. Because, I mean, every time somebody needs somebody to kind of bring them back to center... And realize that, yes, this all sucks, but if you do this, it's going to make it suck more and make you more like them than you yourself. That she's always that person that they put in that situation, for better or worse, realistically. But that's who she's become. She's become like the, you know, emotional center for the show.
I love that. The interaction on the hospital episode?
Yep.
I love that. I thought that was perfect.
I really loved that she, like, laughed and giggled when she put the soap in the bag.
A gift.
Yay. It was adorable.
And she said yay.
Yay.
Alicia Hargett. It's either Alicia or Alicia. This is with a Y, C-I-A. So.
Oh, challenging.
What will June be doing when season 4 starts? I'm going to imagine she's be recovering from a gunshot wound. That's just me. Anybody else?
In a highly watched...
Yeah, probably not with an actual doctor.
Yeah.
That's
unless
one of those...
there's like a handmaid that used to be a doctor.
That could be. That's a good point.
Or I mean,
there is a Martha that we already know was a doctor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of those things that I immediately thought of, like, after this was over, like, what's the opening scene for season 4? Because there's so many possibilities,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, how low down in the abdomen was she shot?
Okay, this is another thing that people like to...
I don't remember exactly where she was shot, except that it was in her abdomen.
It was very, like, hip, right side of the hip.
It's kind of like Serena.
Very much like Serena, and everybody was like, she got shot.
Oh, okay,
in the same
I'm
place
sure lots of other people thought of this a long time ago. I'm just coming to this now.
If this renders her infertile, then we got a problem.
Right. There's also lots of people that are wondering if she's pregnant because of the ceremony with Bradley Whitford. And I will say that would be like a thing that would be like just a tad over the line for me.
I had
one
no
because
thoughts
he's a,
about that.
He's a little older dude. So
dudes can.
I know
you can parent children
not saying
for a
you can't.
Long time.
You can
sire
can't.
Children to a very
that's true. And he's
yeah,
been saving
old age.
I think he's been saving it up for a while.
Yeah.
Like, it's it's typical, like, into 70. Sarah,
Justin.
Moni Paponi. That's one of my favorite names ever. Who died in the final episode? Now, this, I don't know that anyone that we know for sure 100% died. We did see Martha get shot, which I thought was the Sienna.
The guard died.
Okay, the guard died. Sorry.
We're very deeply invested in that character, so I was very sad.
I felt like I saw more than one person fall in the shooting.
Yeah, two people got shot. I thought it was one handmaid and one...
I haven't rewatched, so I'm not sure.
It was one Martha and one handmaid. And when I watched it the third time, when I was trying to figure out who that was, it looked to me like the one was Sienna, which is the other Martha.
Yeah, the second Martha.
But then they showed her again, and it didn't seem like she was the one that got shot. So and it was also very dark. Not Game of Thrones dark, but dark. so we couldn't really see. Was that another Game of Thrones dig? I'm sorry. It's just that your season was so terrible. Okay. Did anyone remove the sheets from the trees that led from the airport to the Lawrence's house? You would hope so.
Probably not, though. If the only people remaining are busy carrying a June by her cloak.
No, we did.
To get help.
There was a lot of time, seemingly, between. It was dark when she was shot, and it was light when they picked her up. So,
that's true.
You know, they could have done some cleanup.
I just assumed that they were, like, hiding in that meantime or something.
Maybe. I don't know. We don't know. Haleo Penso. Oh, Haley. Sorry. No O there. Haley Penso. Have you seen the new Blue's Clues theme song, and do you care about it? Okay. So, now, the reason this was asked is because I like to give examples of things they can ask us, because I feel like sometimes people don't understand that I'm really serious about literally ask us anything. So, I said, example, what's your favorite television theme song? Which we can talk about. But she said, specifically, have you heard the new Blue's Clues theme song? Now, I can't say that I did right before this show started, and it is ridiculous.
Is it more ridiculous than children's shows theme songs normally are?
Yes. Right. Well, especially compared to the old Blue's Clues theme song.
I don't know what any Blue's Clues theme song sounds like.
It starts off as a thing and then goes into like this weird poppy, hip hoppy.
Like it changes genres midway through.
It's like
I don't like that.
It's crazy.
It
now there's no dubstep situation going on or anything like that. But it definitely shifts and it's very strange. So I can't say that I care for it or that I care about it. But that it was definitely not was what I was expecting from Blue's Clues. Let's see. Has there been any news about season 4? None that I've read. I've seen a couple of articles about the cast that they've talked about season 4, but I don't think anybody's going to give you any information that's really real at this point in time. Chloe Wells, what do you think, hope, Commander Lawrence will get up to next season? I love that. What do you think he's going to get up to?
I hope he survives to next season.
That's true.
That's my main hope for him, is that he is still alive.
Sarah, any thoughts?
I hope that somehow he retains power and gets to start making decisions. I don't see that happening, considering everything that's going
on.
Maybe
he can spin it, though, because as far as many people just found out, like, he is the kind of last man standing.
Yeah.
Not literally last, but, you know, I mean, after...
As far as leadership goes.
Yeah, after...
Maybe he can pretend...
Christopher Maloney's character, whose name I always forget, died, and Fred got captured.
Winslow.
Yeah, that guy.
Or he could fake a hostage situation so he could, like, tie himself up.
You think he's good enough to do that? I don't know.
But then, like, fake, like, he...
But then June's going to get in trouble if he does that.
Yeah. But then if he can make decisions, if he's kind of a bigwig now because the other one's falling, then maybe he can save her or something like that.
I say
that.
You blame it on Winslow and pretend like he went rogue and helped everybody escape. Because they...
Would anybody buy that?
I don't know.
He's
missing.
Fairly heartless.
Yeah.
Maybe it was all for show. Let's see. Andrea Johnson Barnett. Do we think that the baby Rita was holding on the plane was of Matthew's baby? I don't think so, only because the prior episode they were talking about how it was still in the hospital and only weighed 3 pounds. And that did not look like a 3-pound baby that she was holding.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that mention.
And also, she said that was the one that Rita said she killed the people.
Also, like, taking a preemie on an unheated plane ride to Canada in cold weather sounds like a real bad idea.
And that was a really chubby baby. That was like, it looked like a 6-month
baby. Right, did not look like a small, tiny baby.
Sturdy baby.
Which commander and wife did a Martha kill to get the child out? We don't really know.
Yeah, I hope we find out. That's really interesting.
I'd love to know.
All right, so now.
I think it was the Putnams.
Right.
Oh, cross your fingers.
Right before I left from work today.
I like Lady Putnam, though.
I put the call out for non-Handmaid's Tale related questions, which we've done a couple of. But let's see what the people are asking us. This is live and happening. Okay, because we talked about it earlier, I'm just going to skip straight to the milk question. gosh. Here we go, kids. The following segment contains a lot of innuendo. So, Glenn Kazmierski would like to know, please wait to the end of the question, dairy milk, almond milk, coconut milk, or oat milk, and why?
No soy milk.
No soy milk.
Huh.
Not an option.
Okay, it depends. The nut milk that I make at home is technically not just almond. It also has hazelnuts in it. So
love
it's actually
hazelnuts.
3/4 hazelnut, 1/4 almond.
Oh, big fan.
Which is super delicious.
Yes.
So that is my all-time favorite simply because that's what I make and that's what I love. It's a bit pricey because nuts are really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a coconut almond mix.
Ooh. Okay.
So I like almond mixes, but I think that means that I like almond the most because I rarely do like straight coconut milk or straight oat milk. I've made my own oat milk. I didn't prefer it.
So, you are the biggest millennial I've ever met. Oh my God.
This is the part where you non-sexually straddle to the,
millennial
side. So,
oh, yeah.
So, but you have to tell the people what the bag is called. Tell them about
okay. So if you'd like to make your own nut milk at home on Amazon, you can get something called the nut milk bag. That's exactly what it's called. And that's exactly what it is. It is not quite as finely strained as like a cheesecloth, but in the vein of that. And so you mix all your nut milk ingredients.
You cannot use the word vein and nut milk bag in the same segment. I'm sorry.
And then
please start again.
You blend up your, you know, your nut mix, whatever that is for you.
Yes.
I know.
It's just
power
getting
through.
Worse.
This is how it goes. And then I've done this before. I've explained this to people before clearly. And you mix it all up, you know, like water, almonds, like vanilla and
hazelnuts.
Maple syrup or something. Yeah, and hazelnuts or something like that. And then you blend it all up in a blender. And then the way you extract the milk is through a strainer bag called a nut milk bag. And that is how you get your nut milk.
That's how you had to know that only people that wouldn't laugh at the nut milk bag were the people that made the nut milk bag. Because otherwise, there had to be a way longer marketing meeting about what we're going to call this.
It took them like 10 years to make it because they couldn't make it through meetings.
No.
Yes, that is how you do it.
Tiana? Preference on the milk?
I just drink cow's milk, guys. Like, I don't know. I don't give that much thought to it,
that's
honestly.
Because you don't
I
have
just,
to.
I drink skim cow milk.
All right.
I am a, usually, if I could, like, have my druthers, I would do just regular milk.
Mm.
We're a lactose intolerant house, but we get lactate milk, which is fine. And we drink that. I have discovered the oat milk. I did a little research on what's the good non-dairy milk to do. And so I found an article that kind of rated it by, hey, this is the one that's most texture-wise, creaminess, like regular milk.
And also nutritious,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because essentially what the oat milk is like you soak the oats and then it's the water that essentially strains through the oats. So, but it's good. It's really good. Like it's one that like almond milk, you know, it's whatever. It's not one of those that like, oh, I could drink a cup of almond milk unless you're like really committed to the cause.
Right. But when you make your own, it's much better than you can.
Right.
But I see what you're saying.
Yes. If you strain it through Sarah's nut milk.
Oh, my son likes soy milk.
Yeah. Soy
milk. Yeah, he drinks soy milk at my mom's house.
Soy milk, the only time I had soy milk, I had what I'm going to assume is a non-soy allergic reaction. It had to be to something else. I had an anaphylactic shock when I drank it.
Yep. What?
Long story. That's the one where I drove myself to the hospital going 120 down the highway. The nurse was very mad.
Did you put your flashers on and just pedal to the metal?
I did.
Wow.
I like soy creamer.
Oh, interesting. I have done the coconut. Creamer. The coconut does taste like coconut, which is the problem with generally coconut things. They do. It does have the creamy texture, but it does very coconut heavy flavor.
That's why I do the mixes, because I get a little coconutted out.
Right.
Real quick.
Yeah.
That was really random.
Mm. All right. Favorite comfort food?
Before or after I couldn't have gluten?
Before.
Let's do before.
And right. After.
Fried
both.
Chicken.
Fried chicken?
Fried chicken.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that's a good one.
Definitely.
Sarah?
That's a good one. Whew.
No flax brownies, for God's sake. Say something real.
Black bean brownies. No. Although I do love black bean brownies and I make them often. But
why?
I know. And chickpea blondies. Like, get hip, guys. I know. I'm the only millennial in the room. They're both shaking their heads at me if you want to know what's happening right now.
slash like making obvious. Disgusting faces.
Now, the black bean brownies we've had, actually, they're not bad.
They aren't.
Are they still brownies?
Technically speaking, yes.
Do Does your mouth say they're still brownies?
Mostly, yes.
Okay.
80% still brownies.
All right. Anyway, boneless buffalo wings.
Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. Is or it really a buffalo wing?
Okay, like chicken nuggets
it's
and
not
buffalo
a, it's not
sauce?
A wing.
Giant chicken nugget, right?
Yeah, it is. Or wings, like bone in, just buffalo
really.
Wings
are not enough food.
That is the thing I constantly...
I'm not that patient. I need more food in a faster vehicle to my stomach.
I do understand what you're talking about.
I'm a big pizza guy. Big fan of pizza. But also, like, if I had to pick a type of food, breakfast food is my favorite food.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's 100%.
Breakfast food and like really starchy things are my go-tos.
Pancakes, French toast.
Like now that I can't have gluten because there's still a lot of good options. I ate a lot of like potatoes and pasta.
Cinnamon rolls.
And let's do an easy one because there are a couple on here that we could have 5 hour conversations about, which we don't want to do. Do you guys drink while watching the show? Or while doing the podcast.
We do today.
Today we do.
I often drink while watching the show.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. I never drink.
It's in my like allotted hour to myself in the evening. Yes, I often have a drink.
I understand. I'm not blaming you at all. No, we do not normally drink during the podcast either.
Mm-mm. When we used to do 3 episodes in a night or two episodes.
Oh, yeah. Those were pretty much always drinking.
Yeah. We had to get through. It was a Friday night, usually, typically, when we did that as well, to be fair. Yeah.
And we just drank more when we recorded at my house because we happened to, the place where we recorded the music room was right around the corner from our beer fridge in the basement.
That's very true.
So it was just proximity. Like, so handy. It was more work to go get water from upstairs than it was to go get a beer.
Yeah. And it was typically like one beer, wasn't like...
Yeah, we weren't...
Oh, yeah. We're never drunk recording. Never.
Definitely do not want us to drunk record anything. It would not go...
I feel like drunk history.
Listen, it would be awesome, but not in the way that you'd think it would be.
Yeah.
Let's see. Did Beth or another Martha get shot or injured? I did not see Beth get shot, but I'm not 100% sure on that. Like I said, it was
Same. It was
semi-dark.
Just so hard to tell.
Justin was the one who watched it the most times, so I would trust his opinion on that one.
Yeah, and that was one, like, again, there were a few scenes, like the plane scene, trying to figure out were there boys and who the hell got shot, because I felt like people were going to be like, who got shot? And I was like, I still honestly don't know.
Not sure.
So yeah. I don't know if it was like, you know, Martha number three, if you watch the credits, or like, you know, if it was really somebody we know. It didn't seem like it, but that's... somebody just said, I wanted to thank you for the sound quality in the finale episode. I could finally hear Justin clearly. So we had a, and this broke my brain that day, because I'm normally accused of being too loud.
It was the opposite of what we used to get.
I overcompensated a little, apparently, right before we started recording. And so, like, I sounded like I was on the other side of the room. And usually, you know, I've got, like, a no edit policy this season. And so I started listening to it, and I was like, oh, God. So then I had to, like, do some massaging of the sound and, like, try and bring me up to the same level as everybody else. It was a nightmare, so I apologize. That is not usually a thing we like to have happen on our show. So, there was a lot of questions about Nick and where we think Nick is and what's going to happen with Nick. I think
he's on the Snowpiercer train.
Oh, man, I hope so. I hope so.
I do kind of want to learn more about that train situation.
Like, I agree.
Where is it going? Where are those people?
Who are you people? Another thing that people are wanting to know is what we're going to do next. And so I put out, you know, hey, what do you want us to do next? And of course, like we talked about, everybody wants to cover the testaments. And of course.
Yes, of course. Everyone's we will cover very the excited. Testaments. Don't worry.
So what else do people want us to do? So this is some interesting things. Everything from, say, somebody wanted us to cover all the Margaret Atwood things. Just all of them.
Yeah, I saw that one. That's
She's
a lot.
Pretty prolific author. I don't know.
Someone said, can you do a podcast episode on the movie or the play? Now, I would say that I think it would make for an interesting thing for us to watch the movie and then do a podcast right after the
I would watch the movie with you guys, but, like, I'm not going to spend my very little allotted personal time with no children in the room to watch that movie that I know to be pretty terrible.
I've heard varieties of opinions
on it. I have not watched the whole thing. I've watched part of it.
And I've never seen it.
The part
I've seen
saw
clips
was
of it.
Highly disappointing from loving the book so much.
Yep. I echo Tiana.
Yeah. So, you know.
I would watch it with you guys for a podcast purpose.
Right.
I feel like it's a thing we should do, like a Mystery Science Theater 3000, like, accompanying track that people could play with the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where we just, like, make fun of it the whole time.
We're we recorded live when we were watching the scary movies, didn't we?
No, we recorded after we watched the scary movies.
Oh, okay. Which I was thinking maybe you were recording during.
No, I really wish we would have, because you would have gotten some very interesting material, like us going, how the fuck is Hitcher a good movie? P.S. Rutger Hauer's dead. Yeah. Sad. R.I.P. Rutger Hauer. So that's a thing I hope we get to do again. Tiana laments the fact that she can never watch scary movies.
I know.
And
hard.
So last year we messes did.
I have to watch them by myself, like wait for a day that Todd has golf and Luca is spending the night at her grandparents. So I have like a couple of hours by myself to.
Yeah. So last year we I said, okay, let's do a scary movie night. And we were supposed to have like a whole thing. And then Sarah couldn't come. And so then it was just me and Tiana. And we watched The Witch and Hitcher. Because I was like, I need to find something that we like. But we had the stipulation.
Yeah, we had an audience tell us what to watch.
Yeah. The stipulation was that the only ones we could watch is ones that we both had not seen. And so neither of us had seen The Witch, which was awesome. And neither of us had seen The Hitcher. And I wanted The Hitcher just because it was so like left field from anything that I thought we were going to get. And was so like, people were
it
like.
It was really weird to watch it right after The Witch because they're so radically different.
Different.
It would be really challenging to find two more different movies that are ostensibly in the same genre.
But only one of those movies has, I believe, Elizabeth Shue getting torn in half by
Elizabeth
Shue trucks.
Yeah.
That was a thing where me and Tiana were watching and we're like, that's not going to happen.
Right.
They're going to like intervene. And they didn't.
Any moment now.
And they didn't show it. So, you know, it was like 1980 something. It wasn't that kind of movie.
Saw hadn't happened yet.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't like a gore porn kind of movie, but it was like, oh, they really did do that. Oh, okay. And we were just, it was also one of those movies that now it's like one of those that I like to fall in the category of movies that could be solved if we had a cell phone.
Yes. Definitely.
Movies that don't happen
definitely.
If cell phones exist.
Definitely.
I don't know what else we're going to do. We are going to look at some interviews. I've been working on that. We have a potential interview coming up with someone that we've already interviewed a couple times that someone asked us to interview today that I commented for Tiana on, which I was not expecting at all, but that Miss Ann Crabtree is nominated again for Emmy. This season because of the way the timing was.
The weird timing for season two.
So that's awesome.
That's great.
So we're working on that. And a couple other, there were some people.
We're getting there. Someday she will be my real friend.
She will.
She's going to keep interviewing her.
Yep. So we're working on that. And also some other the other like editors and sound people and those type of people. We do need to get Ann Dowd. Sarah, we do need to get Ann Dowd.
Yep. It's been enough time since the first time we interviewed her that we could do it again.
I'll press record.
I'm really bummed I missed that interview since I will never be able to listen to it later.
She was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Let's run down some of these
stupid
questions
meetings.
Here.
Stupid real job getting in the way of stuff.
All right. Guilty pleasure TV show. I already know Justin's song. Anybody got to get now, Tiana doesn't have time for a guilty pleasure TV show.
There's one that Todd and I watched that's kind of like, I mean, I'm not like ashamed of anything that I watch or listen to or consume generally.
Yeah.
But like, I know it's one that like people would make fun of me for. We watch, what is the name of it? The Archie show?
Oh, Riverdale.
Netflix. Yeah, Riverdale.
Yeah. Which I don't think that falls in the category of necessarily like.
Everybody does pleasure. This. Everybody
it's not like
does
when,
this with guilty pleasure shit. They go, oh, this, and it's not that bad.
Right.
And then
I
say my guilty pleasure thing, and everyone's like, oh, my God.
It's not when Rhea told me. Rhea, who former co-host of the show, who has 3 degrees, right? PhD, master's, and that she watched Sister Wives. And I was like, what are you even doing with your life?
She's fascinated with religion.
Yes.
As
yeah,
she
true.
Should be.
She's
it
really
is fascinating.
Into theology, generally.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to tell
how
you guys.
How she wound up as an English teacher when she's interested in theological studies still kind of makes me go, but really?
Yep.
Yeah. No, she's certified in social studies, too, and she did a lot of sociology, and it makes sense kind of. Anyway. So,
Sarah, what do you got? What do you got? Come on.
Because I take this question seriously.
Real Housewives.
You know I'm going to tell the truth.
I do.
Okay. I haven't watched it in a while. Well, a couple months ago. But I it's only when I really can't sleep. And I mean like crazy, not going to sleep at all. I watch My 600 Pound Life. And
I do not know what Hoarders. Oh, I know what Hoarders is, though.
So My 600 Pound
Life. I think I've seen Hoarders before, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot like Hoarders.
I mostly wind up like fearing for the physical structure of the houses. Like, is it going to come crashing down on everybody at any moment?
So both
explain
make,
My 600 Pound Life.
They both make me very sad.
So that puts you to sleep?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I've accepted at this
point. The goal is not to get to sleep with those.
No.
It's just something
I've accepted
to do.
At this point that sleeping is not going to happen.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And then I'm going to just fully.
That's good. I'm glad you don't go to sleep sad.
No. I'm going to go into the weirdest places of my brain at this point.
Something you don't have to think about necessarily.
Yes. So, okay. I really am interested in the topic of shame. So I've read all of Brené Brown's work.
I was going to say.
Oh, yeah. I've been all over her forever. I love her. She's the best. Her interview with Dax Shepard actually is so good. They have great chemistry. She's such a neat lady. Anyway, so a lot of the large-scale mental disorders that we have are based and rooted in shame. So Hoarders and My 600-Pound Life, oftentimes when people compulsively collect things or eat things, it is based in some type of shameful event from their childhood, which I find very fascinating. There's this book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed by, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name right now. He's very super interesting. But anyway, he goes into like the depths of psych wards and he talks to the people who are like considered the most out of reach, out of touch, unable to control, like straitjacket situations.
John Ronson.
John Ronson. I knew
not
it was
Ron Johnson. No, no, no. John
really
J-O-N Ronson. R-O-N-S-O-N. John Ronson.
It sounds like a pseudonym.
So he talks about these interviews that he's done in these psychiatric wards, and once he can finally get to the core of why they act the way they do, why they murdered all those people, or why they did all that stuff, it's usually deeply rooted in some sort of shaming event. Deeply shaming event from their childhood.
Well, you can say the same for all the research into serial killers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm fascinated by all of that stuff, just for the same reason that serial killers fascinate all of us and why we watch, you know, the Ted Bundy tapes and all that sort of stuff. So Hoarders and My 600-Pound Life are much like that. So you watch the episode and you're like, oh, this person keeps all this stuff. Oh, why are they doing that? Oh, it's stacked up newspapers. Like, why would anybody keep that? Why do they have 8 microwaves? You know, or this person, like, why does she keep eating? Like, what's wrong? She's killing herself. Like, she's, you know, going to die. She can't walk. And then they finally get to whatever event it was. Usually it's like molestation or like they were beaten or whatever. But anyway, so that took a dark turn. But that is my guilty pleasure show. I watch it.
Well, that's guilty.
You like to watch other people's trauma.
I do, and it's sad, but it's fascinating.
I can't. All right, that wraps it up for part two of our wrap-up show and AMA-ish edition of things. Tune in next week for part three, the final installment of the season three wrap-up, and Ask Us Anything-ish show. Plus more. Interview with Ann Crabtree coming up. Interviews with more people coming up. So much stuff. Stay around. Bye.